Melissa Grady Diaz, I have listened to a few interviews with you in preparing for this episode, which I'm very eager to do. And there are two lines that jumped out at me. Both seem to be kind of emblematic of your personal brand as Chief Marketing Officer of Cadillac and of the Cadillac brand message. So I want to quote. This one's from an interview you did with Jim Stengel. You said, "My job is to make people understand what a great badass brand Cadillac is." I love that.
Thank you. Yes, that is what my job is.
Well, it seems that you're doing it very well. And then this line was actually said by Tiffany Haddish in one of the recent spots for Cadillac that you built. She said, "Sometimes you have to take the wheel and sometimes you just have to let it go." I love that too. Did you write that? Because that sounds like your mantra.
I did not write that. I definitely did not write that. But my mantra is I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, which I think ties into that pretty well. Sometimes you got to grab the wheel and sometimes you just have to let it go. So yeah, those are two very good centering sayings there, I think, that really sum up both my life and my job right now, which is also my passion.
And you have also said that you think differently about how you approach problems, which sounds like letting go of the wheel, but you also have to pivot like crazy based on these times that have filled the past 2 years of you being CMO at Cadillac. So we'll get into how you hold on to the wheel and how you let it go. Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and you know I promised the insider scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising. Well, this one really gives you that scoop, and this is a big one. It's episode 40 of Insider Interviews, and I'm thrilled to have a big guest to deliver. It's Melissa Grady Diaz, the Chief Marketing Officer for Cadillac. You're going to hear how OnStar led her to her North Star of career passion, why Cadillac is like the maverick of the GM brands, but still infused with their corporate cause-oriented values, and how Melissa's team is tackling the marketing of what'll be the first all-electric line of luxury brand vehicles using data and creative-driven insights. Now, this episode was recorded in September, and since then, the new vehicle site is launched and ready for you to check it out. Now, as my little gift, listen for the very human moment around 20 minutes in, but definitely enjoy all 40 minutes of this informative and jam-packed conversation. I'm so pleased to bring this to you. And a little reminder, if you value this and all of my other episodes, please do feel free to help support another 40 episodes. You can donate at www.buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. Here's Melissa. So we are here with Melissa Grady Diaz. She is the Chief Marketing Officer of Cadillac. And you've talked about how you find it important to show up differently. What does that mean?
There's a few different ways to explain it. If you have advertising or have any work that you're doing that doesn't work in the environment that it's in, people are going to ignore it. And I think a lot of people think they hate advertising. People don't hate advertising. They hate bad advertising. And the example that I always use is the Super Bowl, because everyone wants to watch the commercials at the Super Bowl. So what we do and what our process is we basically understand who our audience is. I call them our future Cadillac owners. And I take those future Cadillac owners and I try to understand where they're going to be, how they're consuming media, how they're entertaining themselves. Then I try to be in those places, but to do it in a different way so that it really breaks through. A recent example of this is we are launching the Lyriq, Cadillac's first electric vehicle.
Yay!
And very excited about it. And as we were working on this launch, one of the initiatives we have is when we looked in our database and we looked at who our future EV owners are, culinary index really high. And so we asked the question, if that's true, what would we possibly do that would make those two things collide? And we did something called the Lyric Electric Kitchen. And we worked with two Michelin star chefs in LA. And we had the designers of the vehicle show them the vehicle. And they came up with dishes that were inspired by the vehicle.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So some examples are just the shapes of the food that came from shapes within the vehicle. There was some effervescence really into some of the dishes that really are bespoke of the grill that lights up. The lighting choreography on this car is incredible. So there were all these pieces that were pulled into the different dishes. It was really a culinary journey. It was unbelievable. We then took that content and we did a few things. We put it into a 60-second documentary, which is a format we've used before. We worked with 60-second docs and created documentaries about the chefs. And we also got a lot of media coverage within LA because these were two chefs within LA. And between that, we've gotten a ton of media coverage already on the vehicle and the event. And there's a lot of video views already. There's over 4.5 million actually to date views of this content. So we understand what someone's interests are and we figure out how are we going to bring the vehicle into that environment and do something unique that's going to make people want to hear about it, to tell a story in the way they like to listen to it.
I love that. So that really is showing up differently. And that is also figuring out how to sort of infuse the brand in the environment that the consumer is in. That's interesting. Well, I know that you also talk about the value of flipping the funnel, but I want to take it a little bit to the top. And I will also note, Melissa, I failed math 3 times. But I love research. And you were great at math from the get-go, but you almost didn't take advantage of that. So again, going back to the top, tell us a little bit about how math ended up being applied and how you, I'll use that word, infused it with creative.
It's very interesting because in what was a little bit of, as I go through, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Me following my passion, but listening to the signals around me tends to be how I move through life. When I was younger, I always knew that I wanted to be in advertising. Before I even really understood exactly what that meant, I knew that I wanted to be in advertising. And I used to watch Who's the Boss? And I loved Angela and I wanted to be
right.
So going into college, I was studying advertising, and I don't think I yet understood that there's creative and account and strategy and all those different things. I went to undergrad at DePaul. I had a professor who suggested I look into a program at Northwestern, and I got into Northwestern and was going to study advertising in the Integrated Marketing Communications program. But I was in school in the late 90s, and this was when database and direct marketing and all this data-enabled and driven marketing was just starting to come into being. You really, at that point, had direct mail and catalog marketing and not much else. And so Northwestern was definitely at the forefront of understanding what was happening. And they had a program that was database, direct, and e-commerce. And a week before school started, the student mentor who was supposed to show me where the cafeteria and the computer lab and all of those things were, asked me a question that ended up really changing the direction of my life. And that question was, do you like math? And yes, you're right. I have always loved math. I used to take GMAT tests sometimes instead of like doing crosswords or something. I used to like
Stop
to do
it.
The math part no. portion of
that would give me hives.
And so I really liked math, but again, more like doing crossword puzzles or something than something that I thought would be something that I would apply to my entire life. This person told me, look, if you like math at all, you should go into this because you're still going to learn advertising and you can always go back to advertising. But if you don't know and understand the math, then it's going to be very hard for you to switch the other way. And I said, well, putting math and advertising together sounds good to me. And switched the week before I went into school, fell in love with statistics. I learned how to code and how to build models. And I got very into it, which really led me into understanding how a lot of technology works. So my brain likes to pick apart and take things apart and then understand how to put them together. And that helps me not only formulate my opinion on something, but it also then I think helps me as I'm trying to drive solutions, because that understanding and figuring out how things can be put back together can help me sometimes solve marketing problems as we're looking at how are we going to measure things? How are we going to target differently? What is all of that going to look like? So as we look at our targeting and how we use marketing technology and data, all of that is underlying. But at my heart and soul is this love and passion for advertising and creativity and building creative that people love. So when those things come together, that is when I'm really at my happiest in what I'm doing.
So not to make a bad sort of pun, but it sounds like you followed your North Star to your OnStar.
I definitely followed my North Star. OnStar got me there.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that you came from that discipline of data and love of math. So let's start with the brand side. Here's a big question. Is it gauche to say Caddy instead of Cadillac, sort of like Frisco in San Francisco?
We don't usually say it, but I don't have a particular aversion to it. But I think especially as we're moving into electric, you know, you have Cadillac electric, and then we have all of our electric vehicles end in IQ. So Lyric being the first.
Oh, okay. I understand now. LYRIQ. Okay. That's my aha moment about the branding. So speaking about what goes into the brand, there are so many initiatives that GM corporate embraces, like pride and Black Lives Matter, environmentalism. I want for you, please, to set the stage with a couple of examples of how you manifest the GM values and then how that might differ or become additive for Cadillac.
Yeah, I think Cadillac really embodies all of those values when you really look at the brand and who we are. So from the sustainability environment perspective, Cadillac is a brand that is almost 120 years old. Mm-hmm. And has really stayed at the forefront of culture and at the forefront of people's minds and, you know, set the standard of the world in many cases by being an innovator. And as we look at that innovation, the next iteration of that coming is EV. And we will be the first all EV brand at GM, and we will potentially be the first luxury brand that's all EV. So as we look at that, GM is looking to go all EV. We're looking at how do we work towards a world that is 000, zero emissions, zero crashes, and zero congestion. And Cadillac is at the forefront of that, being the innovator that we are. When we look at DEI, and you know, you talked about Black Lives Matter and the statement that Mary Barra made after George Floyd's death, and even Pride, I think there's a few things there. Cadillac is also a bit of a maverick, and we've always stood for those people who really have, you know, we say they have big dreams and bold ambitions, but really they're the change makers, they're mavericks. And so as we look at that and who and where and how we appeal to people, it's really in our blood. I also think when you look at, and all of GM really embodies this, when after Mary Barra came out and made her statement and then said that she wants GM to be one of the most inclusive companies in the world, what's been really amazing to me is the conversation that that's driven. Because I think, you know, outwardly, however we're doing that, whether it's on social in a campaign or how we're spending our money, whatever that is, where everything needs to start is inside. And at GM, we are really looking at and focusing on having the right conversations, understanding what the reality of situations is, and then driving change and really trying to be the most inclusive company in the world. And I think people often make sweeping statements. And what really impresses me is the way that statement has come into almost everything that we do at GM. And there was an analogy that came about that we've talked about in a lot of meetings that I absolutely love. And that is, what is the definition when we say inclusivity? What's the definition of that? And so you have diversity, which is just everyone. You have equity, and equity is treating everyone the same and fairly. So if there's a dance, everyone's invited to the dance. Inclusion is being asked to dance. And I think, isn't that the most beautiful?
Yeah.
Because as a human being, we all know that moment of feeling on the outside.
Yeah.
Of standing on the wall, and that moment when someone asked you to dance. And so by operating with that and starting with that, it really gives us a strong foundation in everything that we do.
You know, you couldn't possibly know this, but I happen to be a swing dancer. And even at a certain age, we still line the dance floor hoping someone will ask us to dance. So that was, but I will ask them too. So, you know, all things being equal. But that was a great analogy for me. It hit home. And now that actually leads to empathy for the consumer and what they want. And that, I think, is one of your sweet spots. And that's where your expertise in data really helps inform your creative. Can you talk about that, which I know you're passionate about?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because to me, where those things come together is where the beauty really happens. And so when I think about this and how that works is with our consumers right now, we started with a data exercise and we went through and we built a model, and the model was to predict who are these future Cadillac owners that I talked about before. And so we took the entire US and we built a model and we scored everybody, and it's all in a clean room, data and privacy safe, but we know who those people are that we're targeting. And that's great. And then you can take that and you can activate those audiences. So, you know, if we think about how we use digital or addressable or different kinds of media, we're activating that audience. But what else we did with that is we applied segmentation and we got to understand who those people are. And I talked about us being a bit of a maverick. And when we went into our database, one of the most interesting facts that we had within this group was that we had a lot of people with the title president or CEO. It way over-indexed to the general population, to other luxury. And when we looked at that and we looked at the reasoning why, it's because we have a lot of entrepreneurs. And I talked about being change makers, being people who are driving change in the world. We have a lot of entrepreneurs within this database. And so the data, you take out some facts, and then it leads to an insight that we can then action on.
And you've also said that insights are nothing if they're not applied properly.
Yeah. I think the big thing there is that, as we were talking about empathy, once you understand what the message is that you're trying to get across and who you're trying to give that message to, it's understanding who they are, having some empathy and understanding as you're having that, to figure out what creative is then going to resonate with that person. What is it that drives them that's going to help? And I think an example of this is when we went through all this work, we wrote a brand manifesto. And that manifesto really talked about how we are the brand that is pushing forward, always driving forward, trying to make the world a better place. And once we finished this manifesto, this was at the beginning of our journey with Regina King, we read it to her and she said,
I should interrupt. She's been one of your spokespeople since about 2020, I think.
Yeah. Early last year, we started working with her at the Oscars last year and we've continued that relationship. She's wonderful.
And I have seen that spot with her when she talks about how she drove herself to auditions hoping she would get a job. And then the next scene is she's pulling up in her Cadillac at the Oscars. That's awesome.
And when she heard the manifesto, she could so relate it to her story and for myself as well. When I read through it, I was like, this to me is something that motivates me. It inspires me to be a better person. From that is how the Never Stop Arriving campaign was born, because it's about driving, hitting a moment, celebrating yourself for a moment, and then thinking, now how do I keep making the world better? What am I going to do next? How am I going to keep moving forward?
And so we've talked about brand, and you did a terrific job of explaining how the brand is infused with emotion and insights and what the essence of that brand is. But I want to talk about how you approach marketing.
We start with the people who we want to convert. And so if you think about as you're looking at the funnels and where you are, you start with big advertising brand campaigns, and then you start to drive someone down the funnel. And in the typical marketing, hold on, let me deal with this quickly. So,
Hello.
My dog is not happy about it. There's no one.
Oh, can we do another screen grab?
So funny.
See, I was nervous before and now I feel so much better.
Those human moments. Oh my
yes,
gosh.
Exactly. We were interrupted for a moment because we had a human moment. But what you've done so well is you've infused your messaging with human insights. But now that you've got like your brand position and the essence, you've said that you flip the proverbial funnel. What does that look like? What does that mean?
Yeah. So typically when we look at the marketing funnel, you start at the top and you look at awareness, and then you drive through to opinion, consideration, and then right down to purchase. The way that we look at it is I don't start broad. I start with these people who I know that I want to convert, my future Cadillac owners. I start with them. And as we look at our marketing plan, we first look at addressable. We first look at digital, where we can identify who we're talking to. And then we go up the funnel and we fill in with those inspirational things. We fill in with those brand or tentpole moments to help keep the brand love there. But we really start down with where we can identify who people are.
Okay. So as close to, we'll call it one-to-one as you can get, and winding up with as much Oscars as you can get.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. I think that is the key difference. And if you think about my background and where I come from,
which I should say was Jaguar Land Rover and Motorola before that. I mean, you have an amazing pedigree.
Thank you. Yes. I was a long time at MetLife as well. Love insurance. and so when you look at all of that, and when you look at one-to-one marketing, the idea is you know who these people are. When you can, you hold out a control group, and then you look at a conversion to sales. Well, the dream was that we could always do that across all of the channels. And where we are today in reality, and even with a cookie-less world, we're working on how do we really understand and use those same principles across the marketing funnel. So when I look at TV, I'm never looking at straight demographics. I'm never saying, where are the 25 to 54-year-olds with a certain income?
Oh, thank you. Good.
I'm saying, exactly, here's the people who I want to talk to. Now, my media agency, they'll index things like the Oscars, things like the PGA, different properties that we've worked with. We index them and we understand this is a really strong place for us to be. And that's where we have our bigger moments.
I understand. Now, there are so many questions within that. For example, are you worried about scale these days in an era of just increasing subscription content?
There's almost two different questions there. So am I worried about scale? More on a macro level, just because as we look at the typical ways that we as marketers get scale, that used to just be through linear TV. And as you're saying, linear TV viewership is down. People are moving into subscription models. So there's a lot, I think, that's going to come in 3 to 5 years that'll help us resolve where that is. But for today, we're in a place where it's harder for me to understand where people are and to inspire them in those places, which is why we're looking to do more things like the Lyric Electric Kitchen. And when we launched the Escalade, we had a lot of also think differently, show up differently type executions. And we do those because we're really trying to figure out where are our moments where we can have scale going to be and how do we do that in a different way.
And also to capture that first party data, I would think that the more you can drive people to events and registration and things like that helps enable that.
Yeah, I think where we start is with the privacy safe data. So we sort of know who people are, but we don't know who they are. And then what we do is we do try to drive them to things like the website so that they can give us their information. And then we can give them information back in a way that they want. So for instance, with the Lyric, we have a lot of people who've come and said, hey, let me know when that's going on sale. I want to be first. And so then that allows us to communicate with them in a better way.
All right. Well, you teed up the Lyric perfectly. And that is really big news. I think you just launched the registration site for it. You also added some AR aspects to your site. Why don't you use the Lyric, your baby, and give us a roadmap, so to speak, of how you're approaching the tease, the launch, and then the demand?
Yeah. So again, we started with doing some modeling and data work and understanding who are the EV ready or almost ready customers mm-hmm. who are looking for a luxury EV that the Cadillac Lyric will be the right vehicle for them. As we went through that, we have our basically process of how you buy this vehicle. And that is that the pre-order program launches on September 18th. And so we are collecting a lot of names before then so that we can let people know when that happens. And then after that, the car starts getting produced early next year. And then throughout next year, you'll start to see more and more on the road, which is going to be really, really exciting. So the way that we're doing that is we've got the natural traffic of people coming to the website, and then we've got the advertisements that we're running on TV. We have another one that will feature Regina King that will be coming out soon. Then we're doing all these other, we call them content pulses, that the Lyric Electric Kitchen was one example of. We have some basically lyrics for Lyric, where we have Kid Cudi and SZA picking some of their favorite song lyrics that match to the Lyric that will be there beyond their social channels. So there's a lot of different things like that that are beyond TV that really help us. Now, you talked a little bit about AR. We are always trying to push the envelope and see what things we can do differently, because I think that's how you get people interested in something. You know, I always think, what am I going to want to spend my time mm-hmm. doing? So we have a few things. We have a visualizer on our site, which is really interesting, fun. You can turn it around. You can change the color. Yes, it is beautiful. It's beautiful in both colors.
And I like the 6-point wheels. Anyway,
those wheels are beautiful. This is a very interesting insider tidbit. Those wheels have aerodynamic inserts, so they actually help the drag coefficient of the car. So not only are they beautiful, but they are functional. And then the other thing that's really fun is we don't yet have enough lyrics to be able to show them to people. So using a gaming engine, we built a VR lyric. We have something called Cadillac Live. Mm-hmm. And Cadillac Live is basically a one-way video conference with a product specialist. And at Cadillac Live, we have all of our vehicles. So you can call in and you can ask about the Escalade, the XT6, either of the sedans. You can ask about them, and we can put golf clubs in there. We can have someone tall sit in the back. Well, we didn't have a Lyric to bring there. So we built this Lyric in virtual reality, and we are doing scheduled walkarounds. So you can go through and see the vehicle. And so that's been a really fun thing to work on too, because it's really innovative and the car looks incredible. And so It's always fun to do those new things that will give people an experience that maybe they didn't expect.
What a cool job you have. I mean, it's almost like limitless possibilities that, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it. That's amazing. You know, one of my recent episodes was with the SVP of Warner Brothers Animation talking about all of their new Batman franchises. And that same line from the Joker applies to you. Where does he get those wonderful toys?
That's great. That's how I want people to think about Cadillac.
Yes. So back to some of the specifics and the cool new toys that you're offering consumers so that they can sort of touch and feel things virtually. Now, I know in B2B marketing, salespeople are challenged by the fact that almost 70% of the buying decision is made before the seller can even talk to their prospect. Isn't that kind of similar in consumer? What do you do?
Yeah, I don't know the exact percentage, but I think what you're saying is exactly what I'm trying to make a marketing plan to. And so when we talked about the journey through Lyric, so start to get people aware of it, and then they can order it, and then it's going to come next year. As people are going through that process, I'm always trying to understand, how are they consuming that information, and how do they want to consume that information? And how do I make that a more joyful, fun, celebratory experience versus something that's either not fun or painful, or, you know, any of those things where we all know a digital experience where we've been frustrated in trying to do something. So when you think about that, as you want to try to explore a vehicle, instead of throwing up a page of specs, I want to make almost a video game for you so that you can play with the vehicle. Understanding what information people are looking for, trying to develop videos for that, but trying to do that in a way that's really fun and that you're going to want to watch it. So we're really trying to look at what is that, you know, whether it's 60, 70% that they're looking at. And I think a fact that helps drive us is that we know that there's more test drives happen on YouTube than in a car dealership. Huh. So understanding that, content are we going to put on YouTube? Who are we going to partner with? When we're doing the pre-sale program for Cadillac Lyric, we're going to do 24 hours at Cadillac Live, and we're going to stream that on YouTube. And it's going to be the first ever streaming on their masthead. So we're looking at, where are those things happening, and how do we control that part that seems uncontrollable?
I see how it's all coming together now, because of course I looked at a lot of your spots and a lot of them on YouTube, and I'll add some links in the show notes and in our article on the Continuum. But I am an absolute fan of that star-studded ad that you did for your hands-free driving Super Cruise.
Super Cruise is the first truly hands-free driving experience.
I so related to what felt like genuine reactions from the car full of celebrities, like Sofia Vergara saying, I'm not going to try that thing. And my heart was kind of pounding also about the thought of, back to what we first started with, taking your hands off the wheel. So great creative.
Yeah. And that one, our communications team actually came up with that idea. And then we helped bring that to life early last year. And it was amazing. You know, we all talk about this moment when you're driving down a highway and you take your hands off the wheel and you've got to trust the vehicle, and you see it start to turn in the curves of the road. And there is this moment where, you know, you kind of have an moment. Yeah. And then that fear and trepidation turns into a little bit of elation when you're like, this car is really driving itself. And the thing that was so amazing, I think, again, if you go to when is good creative going to resonate, it understands a human emotion and what that emotion arc is. And then brings it to life. And exactly what you're saying, I think watching these people who are such big personalities, Tiffany Haddish, Sofia Vergara, and her husband, the Jonas Brothers, Twitch Nelson, they just have such big emotive personalities. And so watching them go through something and understanding what your own fear probably is of taking your hands off the wheel, it really brought it to life.
Yep.
In a way that, again, if you were to do an instructional video that says to use Super Cruise, take your hands off, like that's not going to give you the emotion. You know, you'll understand how the feature works, but you're not going to understand what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautifully said. Now, speaking of saying things, you've also used 6-second ads, which is almost the counter opposite. And I know that you did that like to play off of the XT6, for example. That's hard to get storytelling across. You did it good in one video I saw. Is that a trend that you see sticking around? And B, where are they most effective? Like, have you tried 6-second ads in audio, which is even harder for a car company?
Yeah, we have not tried 6-second ads in an audio. So the campaign was with the XT6 launch, gone in XT6 seconds. And again, a lot of advertising is interruptive and disruptive. And I would rather just give someone a moment of happiness and then let them on their way. So instead of skippable ads or, you know, make those first couple seconds exciting so someone's not going to skip, we were like, let's just make the ad 6 seconds. Let's get the point across. And I think they really do a good job. We've been looking at, as we move forward, how and where do we use those? And they do work really well. So that was our first foray into the 6 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Just a couple more questions. Okay, maybe three. But sort of tied to performance and with an eye to the future also, speaking of AI, what kind of level of automation and testing are you embracing? In other words, do you do a lot of versions, and how many versions of ads is enough when you're, you know, comparing colors or weather, rainy or sunny in your campaigns?
Yep. Right now, we're not doing a ton with AI. We do have different segments already, so we'll look at which vehicle that we are going to serve someone up. And we do smaller tests right now with different colors, different calls to action, different things like that. We are looking as we move into next year to get the technology to be able to do more automation and optimization on that. So we're looking at, you know, in the future, how does that just become something that's operationalized across like all in market or something like that?
Are there any particular media trends that you are a huge fan of? Obviously, I love podcasting.
I do love podcasting. I think it's such a great way to feel connected and have conversations and be part of conversations that you wouldn't otherwise be privy to at such a level. So I absolutely love podcasting. I think I'm trying to understand now what the big media trends are that are coming. You know, we talked a little bit about subscription services. I think we know that people's media consuming behaviors are changing a lot. You know, we see a lot of sports ratings going down. We see a lot of move to different types of streaming. And obviously in the pandemic, TikTok really took off, and it's so much creativity there. I guess one that we're really looking at now is gaming. And during the pandemic, a lot of people went to gaming, not only because it takes up time when you're sitting at home, but because of the community and the connection that it provides. And so that's been something that's been really interesting that we've been trying to understand. What's our role to, you know, to use the very overused word, how do we authentically connect with people in a game in a way that's meaningful? So we've done a few things with that, and that's been really interesting.
Okay, last two questions. The first, very personal and sort of along the lines of engagement. You recently took a walk down the aisle. See how I did that?
Yes, there was an engagement involved in that.
So congratulations from a few months ago Mr. Diaz. Now, did you dare to drive away with things tied to the bumper of a beautiful Cadillac?
No. And it's funny because I wish that we had, but our wedding was at basically a studio space in Union Square. And so I did go home in a big Cadillac Escalade, but I was just a passenger and there was no cans on the back, but maybe for our first anniversary.
Okay. Yes. It's not the silver or pearls. It's you get a Cadillac. So last question, Melissa Grady Diaz. And this is again, more on the personal side, but truly this has been such a great conversation and all of the interviews that I listened to with you to me makes you the epitome of really today's ideal CMO. You're disciplined, but flexible, your hands on the wheel, your hands off the wheel, you're creative and data-driven. You have soul and good mental health. So I'm going to ask you for future little CMOs, what ingredients, what's the secret sauce of Melissa Grady that you would bottle to help future CMOs?
There are a lot of things. I think the first thing is follow your passion. And make sure you're passionate about what you do, because there's all the silly sayings about if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. But the truth is, when you're passionate about something and when you're excited about something, you bring a different energy to it. And I think, you know, as a leader, when you have that energy, it attracts that energy in people around you. So I think that's really important. Always keep learning. It's amazing because I went to school for what I do, but everything that I learned is obsolete. So at this point, the world has changed so much that you have to just keep learning, and things are going to keep changing at a faster and faster speed. So always keep learning. And the last thing that I think is really important, always prioritize yourself and your health. So make sure that you have time for the people around you. Make sure you have time to take care of yourself, because if those things aren't okay, then nothing else matters.
You know, you famously have talked about how you meditate every day for about the past 15 years. So hearing that in some research I did on you, thank you. You inspired me. I meditated this morning and I'm going to pray that this podcast turns out okay. I think it did. So, Melissa Grady Diaz, CMO of Cadillac, thank you so much for taking this time with me and all of your data-driven insights and insights in general.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the conversation.
Thank you. Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.